Good morning. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. And I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me, whom they have pierced. So when was it that the house of David looked on the Christ whom they had pierced? Our text demonstrates that it's talking about something that's the result of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. And Acts chapter 15 shows us that the house of David is none other than the Holy Christian Church. So it really began already with Adam and Eve. It continued with believers in Zechariah's day. It continued with that one thief on the cross, who, looking on him who he had pierced, mourned in repentance, "This man has done no wrong. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." It continued with the centurion who, looking on him whom he had pierced, grieved. Certainly this was a righteous man. Perhaps it continued even with some of those people that, having looked on him whom they had pierced, were told, went home, beating their breasts. But it was poured out when 50 days later, Peter on Pentecost preached, "You crucified the Lord of glory, the one whom God has made both Lord and Christ. You killed the Prince of life." And what are we told? The Spirit of grace cut them to the heart. Throughout this New Testament age, through the preaching of the Word, the Spirit has continued to be poured out, inviting you to look on Him whom we have pierced and sorrow over our sins. But the Lord I Am does not want us to look on Him merely sorrowing over our sins. The word in our text, "look on Him," is a word that includes the aspect of trust, of confidence. God, for example, used the same word when He promised the children of Israel, "Every one of you who looks on the brass serpent hanging on the pole will not die, but live." And they did. And so God promises that everyone who looks upon this Christ whom we have pierced, trusting in Him, shall not die, but live. And yet, you know, think about it. When we're the ones who have pierced Christ with our transgressions, our denying Him, even with our silence when the pressure's on, when we're the ones that have crucified Him with our selfish desires to do the things of the world, which one of us then, by our own nature, would suggest that such a person wronged by us would still be gracious to us? Where would we find in ourselves the confidence to trust that He would do that? But the Holy Spirit poured out, the Spirit of grace and supplication, invites us to look further, to look on His amazing love, that even when they nailed Him to the cross, prayed, "Father, forgive them, He invites you to look further to the amazing love that hears an ungodly murderer bringing his supplication. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he turns to that ungodly murderer and he opens paradise. Not only to him, but to all the ungodly. For he looks from the first sinner to the last and he declares, "It is finished. The full debt of all your sins, of the sins of the world, has been completely paid." And so the Holy Spirit, leading us to look on this amazing love, brings this transformation, this trusting confidence, to look on Him whom we have pierced, trusting that yes, He will be gracious when we never would have. He will be gracious, washing away your sins, cleansing you in His own blood, making you heirs of everlasting life. And so may you ever be among those blessed to whom Jesus says, "You have looked on me whom you have pierced." Your sins are forgiven, cleansed. For I was pierced for you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Hymn 151, stanzas 6 and 7.